This is really short, but I just want to tell you what the Lord told me this morning. He said, as you saw the downpour of rain yesterday, it cleared the atmosphere. It cleared out every debris. It cleared out every circumstance, all the sinus that's been going around. It cleared out the negative stuff that fell on this earth, the sand and the dirt and the, and look at the clear sky today. He said, I'm here to tell you, I am clearing out the way for you. That rain was prophecy as much as I'm standing here this morning to say, and this is what he told me, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things are new this day. Look at it. All things are new. All of the old passed away. Newness of life, newness of health, newness of strength, newness of financial prosperity. Reach up and take it even now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Raise your hands and thank him for it right now. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We thank you, Father, for the new way, the new life this day.
From the time I was in the restroom, my bathroom this morning, getting ready, there was a cloud that was in the room. And I took my glasses off several times to say, what is this? Are they dirty? Or what's going on?
Wow.
And that cloud has not lifted. Along with it, each minute longer that I stay in it is bringing more of the kabod of God. There's a weightiness that's hard for me to even stand up right now. And the presence of God is about to infiltrate this place.
I wanted to testify just a moment on Richard's behalf, because he won't say anything. Anything that might give him some kind of glory, he would never say. But what I know is that this season of quietness hasn't been just all quietness. Because see, in this season, Richard has been seeking that which God would have him to know. He came to me and said, Pastor, I have one thing, one goal, and that's to see God's people healed. To see God's people healed. And he said, I want to deal with everything inside of me that would prevent that from happening. And that's what he's been doing in this season of quietness. He's been laboring on your behalf. He's been laboring on the behalf of every sinner and every saint out there who needs some kind of a healing. And that is why God brought this word today.
We've been in this series talking about the image, the restored image of God. God originally made man. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And we know man fell. And when man fell, they were stripped of that image. And in fact, a major part of that image was the literal glory of God that man was clothed in. Man, when he lost his glory, his covering, he literally realized that they were naked. And so when man lost, at man's fall, that glory lifted from man. And when the glory of God lifted, that's the first time they realized they were naked in the garden. And the first thing they did is went and hid themselves from God. See, they never had a reason to hide. They were always face to face with God and very comfortable being with him. But when sin entered in and the glory lifted from them, they were very uncomfortable and they started hiding. And they went and sewed some fig leaves around them because they realized they were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? He said, did you eat from the tree? Of course, Adam said, wasn't my fault, her fault. And then she said, it wasn't my fault, it was the devil's fault. They just go down the line blaming. And so God, me, said, listen, the fig leaf won't do. I'm going to have to orchestrate temporary covering for you. I'll have to slay an animal, and the blood of that animal is going to make a temporary sacrifice, and I'll clothe in that animal's skin until I can get the glory back upon you. And from that point, God set his plan in motion to restore that glory. Romans says that we were predestinated. From that point on, God predestinated the entire human race to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, His Son was going to restore the image. Christ, He was going to restore being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. See, when Christ ascended in the right hand of God, the Father restored to the image to the firstborn. He restored the whole image, what they were originally created in. Restored that image. So that's what we were talking about. And we've been talking about the prodigal son, how he came home. And he was a son, he was an heir, but he didn't know he was an heir. In fact, twice he said, I'll just be a servant in your house. Anybody ever felt like that? I'm not worthy to be in your house, God. I'll just be a servant in your house. Just let me in. Just let me in the door. And sometimes you get veiled in that unworthiness and reproach of your past. And when you get veiled like that, you're just happy to be in the house of God. But God is not satisfied with anybody in that condition. He said, no, 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 bring the best robe, put the best shoes. You must know you're an heir. You cannot sit in my house in an unworthy state. If you do, you'll never execute dominion for me. Because that's why he said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. Those are two different things. And what the Lord spoke to me rearranged my entire pursuit of Him. Because everything was about going into the right hand of God. Dominion, dominion, dominion. Pulling out the anointing for dominion. How many want to walk in dominion? Everybody want to walk in dominion. If you know what dominion is. Dominion is authority. In the arenas of power and authority and wealth and executing that kind of authority in the earth and seeing light push back the forces of darkness, eradicate the forces of darkness, and having the people of God come up. Everybody, we need that kind of dominion, but the Lord said it's image first. Now, I want to share a few things with you about the image, because God is actively involved in restoring us to the image of His Son. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Say imaginations. Images. I'm not talking about the image of what you're wearing. I'm talking about the image of what you're wearing. I'm talking about your spiritual image. I'm talking about your belief systems. I'm talking about your systems of thoughts that are empowered by emotions that create behavior patterns, actions, reactions, and behavior patterns. I'll say that again. I'm talking about systems of thoughts empowered by emotions that are creating actions, reactions, behavior patterns. It's the way you see life. It's the way you respond to life. It's what kind of atmosphere you're wearing on your life. If you're wearing heaviness, reproach, and rejection, you'll get heaviness, reproach, and rejection. If you're wearing, even the world knows this, they'll put on an atmosphere of success and it'll draw success to them because it's a spiritual law. But we're not trying to just draw success. We're trying to draw the kingdom of God. We want to wear the kingdom. We want to put on the atmosphere of that image. We want to put His glory on. We want the restored glory. In fact, all of creation is groaning right now to be reclothed in the glory that we once had. You're groaning, whether you know it or not, wanting to be reclothed in the original glory. See, your body's going to get a brand new transfusion from death to life. Just exactly what happened. Your spirit, your body, in fact, all creation is groaning for that. Why? To be restored to the original state. And the last thing to be put under is death itself. And when the death that's carried in this body is put under, we receive a glorified body. We are restored, manifested sons of God, spirit, soul, and body. And you're groaning for it. You're groaning, whether you know it or not. You're groaning, all of creation's in a form of intercession for the sons of God to be restored at the sound of the trump. This imperfection puts on perfection. This mortality puts on immortality. And we get restored to the glory. We get to wear His glory for eternity. A body that'll never cause you problems again. How'd you like that? a body that's made in the same image your spirit now has been made in, a new creation, walking in harmony with God. No more hiding, no more dealing with struggles. That's the sweet by and by. Hallelujah. But when now we got the nasty now and now. And God wants to restore us to His image. While we wait for that, He wants to restore His image. We talked about 2 Corinthians 3, and then I'm going to get into what I'm going to talk to you about today. Because I got to prepare you for some things. Trust me, I got to prepare you. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. I'm going to be a little bit transparent with you today. Everything God has spoken today was totally prophetic. Let it rain to wash away the debris. The glory, God, see, everything's about the restoration of His glory, but you're going to have to pass through some things in the restoration of that glory, because it's glorious to say, God, put your image, put your glory on me. I want to wear your glory again. I want to wear the brightness of God. I want to wear the clothing of heaven. I want to wear His love and His beauty and His peace. I want to wear it here in the earth. I want to wear the beauty and the honor of God and the glory of God. And it's all wonderful and beautiful and hallelujah. And like everyone say, bring it on. Except something's going to happen. There's a metamorphosis that's going to take place. Because for you to wear His image means that your image is going to have to be exchanged for His image. And we talked about exchanging our image at the throne of grace. Just like the prodigal son, he had to exchange the image. He thought he was a servant, and God said, I see you as an heir. Which one are you going to live with? Are you going to be the heir or are you going to be the servant? As long as you think you're just a servant and unworthy to sit in my house, you can be in my house, but you'll never execute dominion because you cannot see yourself as an heir. You're not wearing the clothing of an heir. You're wearing the clothing of a reproach and rejection and shame and guilt and condemnation. The night I was ministering to these two ladies, and they had run over a little boy together, and they are devastated, and they've been devastated ever since 3 months. And I told them, I said, listen, I know how devastated it is, but you can't continue to wear this. If you do, it will destroy your life, because the enemy will have you wear it 20 years from now, and you'll never get over the guilt. And there's only one person's qualified to carry that kind of guilt, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot carry it. And if you don't take that off, you'll wear it, and it'll destroy your life. God broke that thing off both of them. Pow, pow. We wear things we don't know we wear. We have capacities we don't know we have because as we grow up and we've gone through things generationally, childhood, ministry, business, whatever, we compact things. We compact it. Everybody ever compact things? When you get betrayed, you compact that betrayal. When someone does you wrong, you compact it. And another thing, when someone says something to you and spoke over, there's many people in here that did not have a healthy childhood. They had words spoken over to them. They've had people just walk over their dreams and walk over their heart. And how many of you ever had your heart broken? Raise your hand. And when you do, you get trampled, and you have to deal and process that kind of emotion. You have to process what people say about you, what people think about you. You're processing all the time, and your soul has a unique way to process, and it starts storing all the process. If it gets on overload, what you'll do is check out. You'll check out from the pain. Your soul has a way, and it'll start creating mechanisms around you and walls of protection around you, but it will start processing your pain for you. It'll also start compartmentalizing everything you've gone through, and it'll start shoving things in compartments so not every part of you is overloaded. And that compartmentalization that takes place is all part of the matrix of your soul. Your mind, will, and emotion. That's why you can go on and all of a sudden you just explode in a situation. You don't know why you explode. Some people have so much compressed, compartmentalized anger, all it takes is something to set it off and kapow! You'll be going all along in a relationship, everything's fine, and all of a sudden it's going and just BAM! The compartmentalization of your image shows back up. And your partner says, I didn't sign up for that. Right? Like, is that? That's why The Bachelor, you ever watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette? You know, they fall in love because they're running around all over the place. They take planes and boats and yachts and dinners and all that, and they're falling in love with someone so, but they haven't found out who that is yet. They've fallen in love with the image that that person's projecting. And then after the TV cameras are off, you find out they divorced, they never got married, they separated. They're out dating somebody else. Bring the next one. Because that image didn't have enough time to surface. We've had images come in here. Man, they look good. Ministry. Woo, look at that. Prophesy. We said, yeah, join up. Jump in. Let's all jump in it. I used to see an anointing. I just promote it right there because it was anointing. Until you start living. All of a sudden it comes, what is that? Some of you joined up with me and go, what is that? Especially my past issues, like, I didn't sign up for that. I've had a capacity to growl every now and then. Believe it or not, I'm much sweeter these days. But we got in this image thing, and your trials can bring out your capacity. But this mirror, go to 2 Corinthians 3 real quick, because I got to share this with you. If I don't prepare you for this, I'm doing you an injustice. I'm going to share some. The Lord said, you need to share this so they'll understand that nothing's wrong with them when something's about to happen. Because see, if you think that all of it is just going up into the right hand and getting clothed in glory and coming out and hallelujah, and you don't think that there's this metamorphosis change that takes place where he's going to strip the old image off of you, something happens when he strips the old image. Normally what we do, if we don't walk in the light or we're not super close to God, our image, the one he wants to remove and transform, it remains embedded within our life. And usually we have another image that we show everybody else. But the real one gets very deeply embedded. We're very good at that in church, by the way. Everybody got the church smile on? Let's see it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's the one I want to see. Hallelujah. Got it all together. Everything's good. How's it going? You know their life is just a wreck. You just know their life's a wreck. I mean, you know it. Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Couldn't be better. But I'm really wanting to know, how's it going? I'm really wanting to know. I'm wanting to kind of share your pain a little bit, but they won't show that. Afraid. That's a lifetime of image problems, because they already showed that person to somebody else and they were trampled and rejected. So they create something that they believe everyone will accept. But spiritual people see behind the walls. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, real quick, verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Look at that, from glory to glory. That mirror, what I would call a mirror, he says, as in a mirror. It's a literal place of exchange. That is in the presence of the Lord. It actually is located at the throne of grace, where you're exchanging your image, your weaknesses, your infirmities, your strongholds, for his glory, for his light, for his image, for his ways, for his love, for his peace, for his gentleness, for his wisdom, for his grace. There's an exchange takes place. That is done in a place of light, because it's where he is, and it's accomplished to those that get close to the Lord, that dwell with him, that come before him and saying, you are the image, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You are the one that I'm going to be restored to. I lost my image in Adam. I find my image in you. You're the only light I can look at to tell me what I'm really supposed to look at and look like. And I need the reflection of your glory to shine upon me. That's not going to happen if you're away from the Lord. You can forget about that. That's going to happen when you're very close to him. Abide in me. If any man abide in me, He will bear much fruit, the Bible says. He also says that he will be pruned. Purged. I'll show you that. Go to John 15 real quick. Verse 2. Every branch in me. Are you in him? Say in me. Is that you? Raise your hand. Are you in him? Every branch in me, verse 2, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, you're doing good. Who's bearing fruit? Well, guess what happens when you start bearing fruit? He purgeth you. I am bearing fruit. I am doing good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm here with you. Everything's great. What is you chopping on me for? Why? I'm doing good. Leave me alone. Everything's good. Ever notice why God starts invading you when things are good? Why? He goes, boy, I see some capacity in you. I have these things on the side of my driveway called wax myrtles. Anybody wax myrtles know what they are? They grow. They grow very fast. They're costing me money to have them chopped down because they're way above me. I'm a yard man. He goes, well, you know, senor, that's a lot of chopping up there. I might well cut it just completely down. He goes, it grow very fast again. Yeah. I noticed we cut them 2 months ago. There was nothing there. Just cut them, man. These branches. It's already growing. I'm like, look at that. The Lord said, I want you to look like that. I want you to grow like that. But I have to cut some things down. It's your image. I know you want dominion, but you got an image thing. This is what I want to prepare you for. When you come up in front of this mirror, 2 Corinthians 3, the one we're talking about in this series, it's going to be both glorious and some of the most difficult things you have ever had to look at. I've been in the glorious phase up till about last week. I'm going to be as transparent as I can because I want to help you. You don't know who you really are. You don't know your capacity because most of the things we live with get embedded and we don't see our image. Most of the time we think everything's pretty good. We don't really see. In Hebrews, God says all things are naked and open to the eyes of him we have to do. He sees all the other stuff. Now, he's very gentle and he's very long-suffering. He's very patient with our growth, maturity. But there are going to be seasons in your life, especially if you get in front of this mirror, because I found out we need to be clothed in his glory. We need to be clothed in his image to execute dominion. And sometimes we don't know why. Is why aren't we not executing dominion the way he said we're called to execute dominion? As you'll get in front of that mirror, you'll find out. When you get very close to him and come up to the Lord and say, Lord, I've come to behold your glory, to behold that I want to be clothed in your image. I want to exchange mine for yours. Something's going to happen there. The light is going to draw out darkness. It's going to draw out hidden things. It's going to draw out strongholds. It's going to draw out the image that God wants to exchange. And when it draws it out, you are going to be right in the middle of it. Now, I want to encourage you on something when this happens, to let you know there's nothing wrong with you, because you are going to feel like something is definitely wrong with you, because it's going to open things in you that counseling sessions are designed to open, like Sozo opens. It's going to open stuff that gets very embedded and very deep. And you're going to see it the way he sees it. In the light, because you're going to be walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all, because it is going to draw it out. When you get close to him, it's not always going to be rosy and good. I need to tell you this. It's going to be rosy and good after he's finished the pruning, but he is going to draw it out and you're going to see it. And sometimes I'm going to be real honest with you. It'll feel like you're a walking volcano. And he'll take everything you can do just to settle yourself, because your thoughts, your mind, your emotions will go through. I know you came to church to hear a real good message, but it is a real good message. You're going to go through a very short season, because he's not going to send you up into this until you're actually ready to go through it. You are strong enough, but you're going to have some thoughts that are just demonic, unnatural. I'm not talking about just uncleanness. I'm talking about just thoughts are just crazy. Everything gets magnified at sometimes 100 times the magnification. Your emotions become magnified. You get very sensitive to everything, and you can have the capacity to bite somebody's head off very quickly. It's like Anna's little dog. Sweet little thing till you start messing around with Anna. She decided she's Anna's protection. Yorkie. I come in there one time and she said she's going to sleep in the bed with us. She started growling at me. I said, don't even think about it. She goes, I come in there to talk to Anna and I'll just put her hand on the shoulder and she goes, but she can be real sweet too. When she wants something, oh, she's just sweet. She'll come up in your lap. If you're eating, she'll come in your lap and just lick on you. I'm like, you little traitor. And I'm thinking, she loves me. Look at this. And then 5 minutes later, if you coming up before him and all of a sudden your emotions get magnified and you got videos playing through you about people and what people think about you and things are going on. And it's like, where'd all this come from? Everything was good. I was bearing fruit for you, God. Everything was great. Now he's wanting to cut down. God, part of God's cutting down is drawing out that old image. When he draws it out, it's going to be on you. You're going to feel it, see it. Don't think anything's wrong. Understand the process as he's pulling that up out of you. But there is going to be a major magnification of everything in you. The best thing you can do is keep your mouth closed as much as you can. Realize you're going to get through it. Realize there's another image that's going to replace for everything you're feeling, for everything you're experiencing, for everything that's going on. You guess what? There's another image coming on the other way that's going to supersede that one. He's going to replace it with the deep-seated peace and the deep-seated glory and the deep-seated joy and the deep-seated love. He's going to replace the foundation. There's going to be a true transformation. And guess what? When that happens, you're getting ready for dominion, because that's the very thing that was keeping you from the next level. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, for those of you that are walking in this message and doing it, it's going to happen. God is not going to keep you the same way. You should rejoice at that. But in part of God's change, he's going to draw things up. And when he does, recognize this is the process. Talk to somebody who knows a little bit about this. I called Chuck. I said, God, I got a volcano going on me. But I also know that all that image is coming out. I want it to come out. I've been making a demand for the exchange of my image for his, because I want to carry his. Because I want to walk in his glory. And he can't have that stuff on you and being clothed in glory. The Bible says, put off the old man. Put on the what? Armor of light. Put on the new man. It's also to be put on the armor of light. To put on light means something's got to go in the realm of darkness. So if you're passing through a season like that, recognize it's a season and understand nothing's wrong with you. Don't be condemning. You just realize you're in the middle of it and don't stop. Don't walk away from the process. Keep bringing it to the Lord. Remember, he's exchanging your weaknesses for his strength. Amen. He's exchanging your infirmities for his power, and he's exchanging your image for his, because God is going to clothe the sons and daughters in the last day in glory. That's what Joanne was saying. The rain, the prophetic rain is coming. It's coming to wash away the debris. It's coming to wash away. You ever seen, after it rains really hard, you ever walk outside and how clean everything feels? rain does that. So God's going to come and rain upon you during that. And he's going to wash away the debris. Amen. Because God's getting us ready to walk in glory. And so man has the encounter of the glory where we're going to walk in. So God's talking to us to put on the image of his dear son, to walk in the image of God, to know you're a spiritual being and you walk in spiritual atmospheres. And some of you have been carrying old atmospheres of reproach, and he's going to shift those atmospheres. Everyone say, Father, shift. I take off that atmosphere. I take off that atmosphere. I take it off. Where you do that is with him, close to him, and said, I want the exchange. How many of you are tired of being where you are right now? Raise your hand. How many want to go and graduate? To graduate, we're going to have to walk through. We're going to have to exchange our image. Because what we really want is, God, I want to walk in a new level of dominion with you. I want to walk in a new level of glory. I've got to have a new image. God said, all right, then, are you ready to go through the exchange? Come to the throne of grace and let's make an exchange for the old image, and let me put on the new in the image of Christ. You might have feelings of jealousy. You may not even be a jealous person normally. And all of a sudden, just stuff arises. And what is that? Trust me, none of us know our full capacity in here. We don't know what's been buried. We don't know what's been compartmentalized. God's going to take all that compartmentalization and flush it. Wash it. Amen? Because he's getting ready to have his church walk in glory. And he's not going to have us clothed in glory and walking in the fruits of the flesh. He's going to purge and mortify the deeds of our body, mortify the deeds of our soul. And he's going to bring that stuff to death. And he's going to set his glory in its place. Amen? He's going to set his image upon us. Glory be to God forever. Say glory. Oh, let's give him glory. Praise the Lord. Glory. Glory! Some of those things are going to be exchanged. We have so-so that it's a marvelous thing to help exchange some of that. And some of those things you're going to have to get exchanged between you and God. Amen? Yes, something? Oh, he's pumped up today. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah!
He's describing what I've been walking. So I want to just, that's part of where it's been happening within me as well. I want to make you aware in John 15:2, where he says purge. That word purge actually also can be translated to be cleansed and to be made free of mixture. Free of mixture. It's the mixture that's got to go. And see, sometimes we don't even know the mixture is still in there. On Monday, I had one of those sessions and something came up. As I grew up, when I was in 9th grade, there was a guy who was 16 and still in the 9th grade, and he persecuted me every day. Every day. Now, I'm skinny now, but then I weighed probably less than 130 pounds, and it was almost the same height. So I was a little rail. And this gentleman, he persecuted me, and then one day, after class, he came outside, caught me up against the lockers, and he pushed me and shoved me and hit me in the head and knocked my glasses off. Now, see, I've had to wear glasses since I was 5 years old, and the glasses is just one thing you don't mess with because it's my way of seeing. And as soon as he knocked my glasses off, this rage came on me. And this rage came on me, and all I could see was this deep, dark red. And I started pounding on this gentleman. And when I finally came out of the place of rage, I was kneeling on the floor on his chest with it, had his hand with both ears on my hands on it. I was just beating his head into the floor over and over and over again. What I learned in that moment was that power that had. And then I began to use it in other places in my life. I began to try to harness that. Because when you're not saved, that's what you do. When I would go to an interview, I would rage outside and then go in and just dominate. Because I learned how to do this and how to work with that thing. And it was just nothing but an evil spirit, but I didn't understand that. Monday, when I'm in this place of exchange, this rage comes up. And I came before my Savior, and I just knelt before Him. And He reached into my chest, just above my heart, and pulled something out that I didn't even realize was still there. And I can tell you, I feel a lightness. It was as if my steps were bathed in butter. I mean, it was amazing when I was walking. I just felt like I was on a cloud. Because I had never known life without that thing being instilled just above my heart. And even though it hadn't shown its face in many years, it was still part of the mixture that had to be dealt with in order for me to go where I gotta go. And I'm wanting to just encourage you, the freedom that you feel on the other side is worth facing the fear and staring it down and stepping through and praying it through and staying with it until you get the victory, no matter what it takes. Because the freedom is the thing that we're looking for. Because those who are free can truly set someone else free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, if your pastors are presently going through this, just recognize it's a process. Amen. Mark 4, verse 20 said, these are those that are sown upon good ground. Such as receive it, bring forth some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. We're looking for the hundredfold operation of God. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a candlestick? I mean, you know, the spirit of a man's the candle of the Lord. He's going to set His light upon your spirit. See, He's enlightening. The Lord will enlighten my darkness, the Bible says. When He enlightens it, you'll see it. You might experience it temporarily. Powerful verse, verse 22. There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. There's nothing hidden within our capacity like this in a fallen image that shall not be manifested by His light. It's keeping us from a 30, a 60, or a hundredfold walk with God. There's no fallen image that His light will not light up and exchange our darkness for His light. Amen. He's going to make the exchange. Understand in the process He loves you. Understand the process you're going through this for the betterment and for the glory of your future. Amen. He's going to set a brand new glory and this brand new anointing upon you. And I said, Lord, I can't wait to come through this one. It's been a while since I've experienced stuff like this. Hallelujah. So now you're prepared. Amen. Glory to God. Don't look for it. It's an operation of the Spirit when it happens. No! You're going up higher! Say, Lord, get me up there!